from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Monday, March 30th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. About 10,000 people gathered in Uptown Charlotte over the weekend for the third round of No Kings nationwide protests against the policies of the Trump administration. More than a dozen communities around the region also participated. In Charlotte, there were speeches from organizers at First Ward Park before marching through Uptown, closing several streets. Charlotte-Mecklenburg police reported no incidents nor arrests during the event. An estimated 11,000 people turned out for protests in Asheville. Thousands more gathered outside the state Capitol building, closing several streets around Capitol Boulevard. Spring is in full swing in the Carolinas, but some folks are still experiencing a lingering winter chill from overdue utility bills. For Duke Energy customers, this increasingly results in disconnection. Zachary Turner has more.
Disconnections from both Duke utilities rose significantly in February. About one-fifth of Duke Energy Carolinas, or DEC, customers are behind on their payments, a figure that has remained roughly the same since the pandemic. DEC disconnected nearly 10,000 customers in February. Disconnections more than doubled among DEC customers following consecutive winter storms in January. Piedmont Natural Gas disconnections also rose. Notices rose above the post-pandemic average in January, but actual disconnections have remained below average since December. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Charlotte-Mecklenburg School's planned magnet overhaul includes a proposal the CMS school board once vetoed after community pushback, changing four so-called middle colleges into early colleges. James Farrell has more on why CMS is pursuing this again.
These programs allow high schoolers to work toward an associate's degree, with early college starting in 9th grade and middle college starting in 11th grade. In 2024, the district sought to turn its four middle colleges into early colleges, but the school board balked after community concern. But Deputy Superintendent Melissa Balknight said last week the early colleges face wait lists, while the middle colleges still have empty seats.
Demand for our early colleges continue to grow, with more than 1,300 students on our wait list for the 26-27 school year. We believe now is the time for the transition.
In 2024, middle college students praised the program for allowing students to spend 2 years at a traditional high school before making the leap to college immersion. Balknight said the district will try to make a better case to families that a similar opportunity would still exist through the district's dual enrollment program. Community engagement on the proposal is underway. James Farrell, WFAE News.
A survey of 800 registered North Carolina voters by nonprofit Healthier United finds North Carolinians are concerned with the political climate and the cost of living. Kenneth Lee has more.
The nonprofit survey was conducted by telephone in March and focused on voter participation in past midterm and presidential general elections. The survey found 39% of participants view Governor Josh Stein favorably, while 25% view him unfavorably. Another 36% have no opinion. On a call with reporters, Paul Shoemaker said concerns over the rising cost of living was also a common theme among respondents.
When I'm talking about affordability, when I say the roof is the roof of your house, from the standpoint of the electricity it takes to heat it or to cool it, when it gets into that, and the energy costs at home, it's the kitchen table now as it comes to food prices at the grocery store. It's your car or truck as it relates to the gas and what you're putting into it now. And then quite frankly, it's your overall body and your health.
Nearly 3 in 4 North Carolina voters say they feel financially strained by the cost of health care. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
A Charlotte-Mecklenburg police officer has been charged with assault on a female and domestic violence. CMPD said Thursday they received a complaint about a domestic violence situation that happened over the past week involving Officer Ryan Clement. Officials say Clement was off duty when the incident occurred and is now on unpaid administrative leave pending the outcome of the internal investigation. In a statement, CMPD Chief Estella Patterson described the charge as deeply concerning and said the department will investigate with transparency and fairness. Due to increased wildfire risk, the North Carolina Forest Service issued a ban Saturday on all open burning and has canceled all burning permits statewide until further notice. The issuance of any new permits has also been suspended until the ban is lifted. Anyone violating the burn ban faces a $100 fine plus $183 in court costs. Any person responsible for setting a fire may be liable for any expenses related to extinguishing the fire. South Carolina issued a burn ban on Friday, but expects to lift that today. The Carolina Panthers have had a busy offseason preparing for next month's NFL draft and signing free agents. Recent signings include offensive tackle Rashid Walker, who spent the last four seasons with the Green Bay Packers. Walker will be a welcome addition to the team while left tackle Ikem Ekwonu recovers from an injury. During a media session, Walker said he's excited to join the team.
I feel like we have a really good quarterback, Bryce Young. I have some good interior guard help with me. And I feel like my job as a left tackle, I'm going to bring that mindset that, you know, I feel like the team needs to get us over the edge.
Walker started 16 games with the Packers and played 94% of the snaps. The Panthers have the 19th pick in the first round of this year's NFL draft. Young Latino voters in Mecklenburg County turned out in higher numbers in this month's primary election, but participation is still low in the Latino community as a whole. Julian Berger looked into the numbers and has more.
On primary election day, Carolina Quintana Ocampo cast a ballot at her precinct in the university area.
So I just came out here to vote because I want my voice to be heard, and this is one of the few ways I can still do it.
Quintana Ocampo, whose parents are not citizens, says voting is personal.
My parents can't really vote, obviously, and I just want to represent like that part of myself too in these elections.
New data from Mecklenburg County shows more young Latino voters like Quintana Ocampo participated, at least compared to recent years. About 930 Latino voters ages 18 to 25 cast ballots in this 2026 primary, 328 cast ballots in 2024's primary, and 196 cast ballots in 2022's primary. Lenin Caro with Camino Research Institute compiled the data.
This is breaking expectations based on past years, but we do have to keep in mind a lot of things have happened in Charlotte in 2025 that could explain this more excited activity.
Caro points to multiple factors, including heightened immigration enforcement activity in the past year and more Latino candidates running for office, which might have drawn more attention to non-presidential elections. Another gap in the data is gender. In this year's primary, more than twice as many young Latina women voted compared to men, a pattern seen in past elections as well.
While this is a good thing to celebrate, we should be wary that there's still, you know, that fundamental issue of low male Hispanic participation.
Overall, Latino participation is still low. Only 8% of all registered Latinos cast a ballot, compared to 15% of the total registered voters in the county. On the ground, organizers say outreach plays a role.
The doors of Latinos are not being knocked. They're just not. You'll get to a door and they're like, oh, no one's ever come to talk to me about like who I'm voting for.
That's Jess Villatoro with progressive group Siembra NC, which focused outreach efforts in parts of Charlotte ahead of this year's primary, including door knocking and community conversations. Villatoro says increased engagement this year by young Latinos may also reflect how voters are responding to recent issues, like immigration enforcement, affecting their communities.
This election came at a time where there was still a lot of uncertainty, as there still is in our community. I think that's why people felt like they needed to take action now.
Even with the increase, primary turnout remains far below that of November general elections, when more voters typically participate. Campaigns are already ramping up outreach to Latino voters ahead of November. The Libra Initiative supports conservative candidates and endorsed Republican U.S. Senate candidate Michael Whatley. The group says it's focusing on outreach in Latino communities, including door knocking and Spanish language engagement. Meanwhile, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Roy Cooper's campaign says it's also prioritizing Latino outreach, including listening sessions with Latino leaders and creating Spanish language literature. Both efforts come as candidates expect Latino voters to play a key role in one of the most watched races in the nation. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
And for Monday, March 30th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.